Today, we're going to be looking at the question of resurrection. I realized that Easter was a few Sundays ago, but questioning the resurrection, or at least the traditional interpretation of the resurrection, Easter Sunday just seems like a really poor day to do that when we're trying to think more about the celebratory parts of resurrection. So, I did a little setup last week just talking about the importance of a rational faith to me. And so this week, we'll be looking at the question of resurrection. So, here, right off the top, here is my answer to the question of resurrection. Did the resurrection really happen? I don't know. Okay, so thanks, and see you next time. Thanks for tuning in. No, kidding. But seriously, I don't know. Pretty comforting, huh? Really. I know that I'm supposed to believe it. I'm supposed to believe that it happened. I'm supposed to have that kind of faith. But am I supposed to believe in a bodily resurrection or a spiritual resurrection? And if I do believe in a bodily resurrection, which gospel account do I believe? Because they're different. And like we talked about last week, I prefer a rational faith over a blind faith, which means facts matter to me. Facts like the story of Joseph of Arimathea buying Jesus, burying Jesus in a tomb. Well, that seems to, from a textual analysis, seems to be like a late addition to the story. Facts like when Rome crucified someone, they tended to bury them in tombs with lots of others who were crucified. Facts like Christians actually had no real concern. They placed no emphasis on Jesus' tomb until the year about 326. There's plenty of other pieces of data that need to be considered, but the point is, facts matter. Now, regardless of what some evangelical and traditional Christians will tell you, the reality is that amazingly brilliant believers and theologians have argued about the reality of the resurrection for a very long time, and they've come to no agreement on this. If I personally had to pick one set of perspectives that I believe I can get the closest behind, that's the closest to what I think reality might be, I would pick theologians Bart Ehrman, John Shelby Spong, and Gerd Lumen. They all argue for some form of visions as contributing factors in the forming of the resurrection story. They don't necessarily deny that something happened. They just don't believe that it was a bodily resurrection. And they provide plenty of scholarly backing for their particular perspectives. Or as my theology professor, Dr. Frank Tupper, put it, if there had been a video camera there that first Easter morning, I don't think it would have recorded Jesus walking out of the tomb. Ehrman says, what about the resurrection of Jesus? I'm not saying it didn't happen, but if it did happen, it would be a miracle. The resurrection claims that not only that Jesus' body came back alive, it came back alive to never die again. That's a violation of what naturally happens every day, time and time, millions of times a year. What are the chances of that happening? Well, it'd be a miracle. In other words, it'd be so highly improbable that we can't account for it by natural means. A theologian may claim that it's true, and to argue with the theologian, we'd have to argue on theological grounds, because there are no historical grounds to argue on.
Historians
can only establish what probably happened in the past, and then by definition, a miracle is the least probable occurrence. And so, by the very nature of the canons of historical research, we can't claim historically that a miracle probably happened by definition. Probably didn't. And Spahn puts it this way: I don't think the resurrection has anything to do with the physical resurrection. I think that it means the life of Jesus was raised back to the life of God, not into the life of this world, and that it was out of this that his presence was manifested to certain witnesses. Like I said, that's what I picked if I had to pick one set of answers. But the reality is, when it comes to the question of what happened at the resurrection, I just don't know. And frankly, I don't really trust anyone who claims they do. The truth is, if anyone tells you that they know what happened Easter morning, well, they're wrong. Because no one knows. No one knows. Even the biblical reports of what happened are secondhand stories. No one saw it. They were told about it. Now, the event that I am most certain of is that there were a group of disciples who came to believe in Jesus' resurrection. But it was not a fully flesh and blood resurrection. They are careful to share in their reports of Jesus' appearing in ways, they share those stories in ways that flesh and blood particularly doesn't appear. In the midst of locked rooms, vanishing when recognized. People who, when Jesus was crucified by the ruling government, those people who fled and hid for the fear of their lives, they had something remarkable happen. They were changed very quickly. Very quickly they moved from fear and trembling to proclaiming and evangelizing. It was almost too quickly, as if something transformed them from what they once were to what they had become. They moved from fear for their lives to risking their lives in a really short time. So something transformative happened. I submit that that is the story of life. Life is about transformations happening. That the elements that make life possible happen because of the death of the star. Life begins with an ending. Our own bodies, in order to survive, they do so by killing off and replacing some 100,000 cells per second. We're literally dying to live. The food that we eat to survive begins with the death of an animal or the ending of a seed. Life is about transformations. Life is about the intimate and endless relationship between beginnings and endings, life and death. And I also submit that that is the story of the resurrection. The Easter story teaches us that where there is love, there are no endings. Death is never final. Hope is never lost. There is always a new way, a new path, a new life. It teaches us that in the long run, the oppressive systems of this world do not stand a chance against love. It teaches us that you cannot nail love down. We tried that once and it did not work. We need to not just get caught up in the story of what happened back then a long time ago. We need to see that while it is a story from way back then, it's also a story that is possible in every moment of our lives. We need Easter to remind us that we need resurrection in our lives. Easter should remind us that we are called to live resurrected lives. You see, Easter is not just about Jesus, it's about us. Easter is not just about death, it's about life. Easter is not just about the past, it is about the future. It's not just a story of a resurrection that happened then. It is about the resurrections that are happening now. Ultimately, Easter is about, it's about how hope breaks into a world that can seem overwhelming and oppressing. It's about how hope can and will overcome death, and not simply actual death, but rather also the metaphorical deaths that confront life every day. It's about how those deaths aren't the end of things, but the beginning of things. It's about how we only think they are the end of things because we set up in our minds our own ideas of where we are going, what things should look like, and what they should be like. We get stuck thinking hope is born in knowing where we are going rather than acknowledging that hope is not knowing where we are going, but rather knowing that love leads the way. With love, death is never final. With love, hope is never lost. With love, there's always a new way, a new path, a new life. Did the resurrection really happen? Did it? Well, my personal answer is it doesn't matter. Because it does happen. Every day. Life is full of endings, the death, the finishing of something. When you think about it, the things that scare us, disappoint us, bother us, and sometimes offend us the most are not actually the things themselves, but rather it is partly about how those things represent an ending to us. And our human instinct is to react negatively to endings. Endings seem so final. Some of these endings, the deaths are the obvious ones. You lose loved ones, an important relationship ends, an institution that was significant to us closes its doors, a building where we work is boarded up. Beyond the sadness connected with the permanent absence in our lives, there's also a part of us that mourns the ending itself. Endings seem so final. Then there are endings, the deaths that are, well, less obvious to us. Like when things change. We're not just upset about the new way of doing things. We are, in part, mourning the end to the way we things used to be. When we're not able to achieve a particular goal, we are not just upset about our inability to attain that aspiration. We are, in part, mourning the death of the self we believed could achieve those goals. The story of the resurrection is that endings are not final. The story of the resurrection is that creation is wired for new beginnings. The story of the resurrection is that fear and hate and grief do not win the day. Love does. The story of resurrection is that resurrection is more of a verb than it is a noun. It's something we live into. It's not merely an event we remember. Something changed for the disciples. It was transformative. That's what resurrection both does and reminds us of. True love is transformative. When the death and losses of life have us feeling lost and afraid, hopeless and helpless, resurrection reminds us that life is intimately and endlessly intertwined with death. The things which we see as endings are nothing more than new opportunities for new beginnings. And when those beginnings are rooted in love, we can transform even the worst ending into the most beautiful beginning. And that really is comforting, isn't it?